Who's ready? Who's expectant? This is healing class. Subject is healing and health. We're going to delve in, have a powerful time, have a great time together, and see manifestation of that which is rightfully and fully ours already in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to start off with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. I give you praise, Lord. I'm so grateful for who you are and all that you've done. Thank you, Father, for healing made sure through the cross. Thank you, Father, for health and healing being ours abundantly in and through Christ Jesus. Above all, Lord, we thank you for manifestation, tangible reality of all that you paid for, freely gave, which we have freely and fully received, and we say thank you. We thank you, Lord, for hearts and minds and bodies in line and in tune with the finished work of the cross. Thank you, Father, for helping us truly get it as we delve into your word and search out truth, beholding with our very eyes that which you fully accomplished. We say thank you, Lord. We give you praise. There's rejoicing in our hearts today. We say we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I want to start off this morning by just asking anyone with a testimony? Amen. Quick one, a minute or two here to encourage the brotherhood, that is, saints, the body. Anyone with a testimony? Hallelujah. Infilling. Praise God. Hallelujah. That was exciting. Yep. Gail could scarcely contain herself. She almost felt like she was like, she was floating. She was jumping like this. I thought she was going to take off. I was like, phew. Excited. During and after, there's just, such a glow. And that was neat. That was kind of interesting when she shared that with me, but praise God. Anyone with a testimony?
You want negative ones?
Not negative. negative ones. Healing class.
I had classic gallstone symptoms. I haven't seen a doctor yet, but I talked to one on the internet and on my email. So I think God has given me some things that I can do. Supplements and eating stuff that will improve this. And I'm working on it for a couple of days. I detect some minor improvements on it.
Hallelujah.
So he uses this kind of stuff.
And praise God.
I look for it. It's out there. You got to ask for it.
Amen. Sir, some may not know you. Just your first name, please, if
I'm
you
Bob.
Will. For the body.
Yeah.
Bob.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob, for sharing that. And that's interesting, and I hope to touch something of that nature as we continue on today. Thank you.
You can tell your testimony.
Hallelujah. Yeah, we're taking testimonies. Testimony time. As you get into the class, into the word this morning, anyone with anything to share? A minute, 30 seconds?
Healing testimony?
Yeah. Praise God. And don't feel like, oh, it has to have been, someone says, oh, I've seen, it's better, it's great and whatnot, but you're still, waiting for a line under it. It doesn't have to be that, but you can also give praise for the changes that you're seeing already occurring and how that whatever that was is already dissipating by the power of God, is already, relenting in its hold because it has no grip and no abiding place in your body. I just said all that to say this. Don't be shy, don't be bashful, and don't feel like, oh, if I say something, then, whatever that may be. God is here.
Amen.
And this is a safe place, a safe space.
Yeah.
And you're giving praise and thanks to God.
Yeah.
Okay?
Praise.
Carol.
I had a healing this week.
You had a what?
Healing.
Amen.
Nothing real drastic. I had started getting this pain in my heel, and it was getting worse and worse, and it was like there all the time. It didn't matter if I was standing on it, sleeping, whatever, it was there. And I just said, no, I'm not going to receive this, and I spoke to it, and it went away.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pain in the heels. You spoke to it. Didn't pay attention, so you didn't let that rule you or govern you or whether you're going to get up and move or walk or whatnot. Spoke to that thing and bang.
It's better to do it like right away.
Hallelujah.
You know what I mean? Before
Amen.
Yeah.
And friends, guess what? What determines if you address it right away or not?
Your faith.
Now, and that's predicated on what?
The word.
What about the word?
If it's in your heart.
What's in your heart? So it's not, for example, I used to say something in the past, what's in your wallet? It's not about what's in your wallet, because guess what? Your wallet is not able to address everything as it concerns health. As far as whether payments or whatnot and drugs and medication or processes or procedures, or even if there's anything known that can address that ailment. So at the end of the day, it's not about the wallet, but what's in your heart? What have you hidden in there? Mm-hmm. What's rooted and grounded in your heart? That's going to determine what your first response, as it were, a first responder, which is what we're called to when if an emergency or something hits right away. Boom! All right. There might be no time to pick up and make a call. Call a friend. Call emergency services. Call a family. But what's your first response? Mm-hmm. I reject that in the name of Jesus. And then the word just oozes out. Okay? I'm not going to tell you what that word is. But by virtue of your own relationship with God and the conviction in your heart, you're able to speak life in that moment. Thank you for sharing that, Carol. You had something.
Yes, it's a process. For me, it was a process because I didn't know I was in the hospital. And then I just kept going. But I just kept believing. And then the words of my friends... made me stronger and remembered the word.
Mm.
So I've started sending cards to people, and that's really cemented my faith in the word again over and over.
Hallelujah. The word. Remembering the word. Getting to the word. Conviction based on the word. God's word. Susan, you had something.
I do, but mine is opposite. So what happens if you're praying and praying for something and it doesn't happen? Because, I've been praying for three main things in my life, and he has never answered those. So there's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of frustration because I prayed for my tooth over and over. He had to get it pulled a couple days ago. And it's like, why? And I do get anger towards that.
Now, wow, this is interesting. I wish I was, I'm writing this down. But this is something that I want to throw up as we continue on today as well, and it's important. When you said anger towards that, now that's something we have to look at as a group, as a body, and be careful of. And I'll show us why it's important. But thank you for bringing that up. Because sometimes we speak about something or we command or strictly charge, and right then and then you don't see it. Or nothing comes or comes about by way of the manifestation. It's important, it's vital that we get a grasp of what we're gonna consider and what we're gonna look at today, which I believe will be helpful. But remind me to still touch on a critical point in that aspect. I don't want to jump the gun here, but thank you.
Seems to me that you said you prayed for this and all this, and you believe you're going to be healed. But then when it didn't happen right away, then you lost your faith. And you started saying it didn't go away. So do we have a responsibility to maintain our confession? Because Jesus is the high priest of our confession.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're not confessing that we have the word in us. He can't act on it.
Friends, thank you, Carol. It's great to have, discussion like this. And so bear with me, if you will. I may just move, as the Spirit leads it, just to, clear things up and just move as he leads. So Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly call, it says, consider.
Yes.
Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession.
Yes.
Our confession. Mm-hmm. Our faith. Now, when it says consider, contemplate,
mm-hmm.
think on. Meditate on, be focused on, zone into Jesus. And there's a reason why Bible gives that injunction, why Bible gives that admonishment or admonition to consider Jesus. Because guess what? When we speak about confession, literally, which is, we saw this a couple of weeks ago, to say the same thing as God, to speak the same thing, confession, we see that from Romans 10, 8 through 10 as well, to say the same thing as God concerning Christ, or because this is healing class, concerning the subject matter in the area of healing. So much, and I've said this, I've shared this severally, it bears repeating. It's not just, to be honest, and I'll be sincere with you, it's not just about what's coming out of your mouth. It's about what is the state of your heart. What is the posture of your heart? What is your heart posture? Because out of the abundance of the heart, guess what? The mouth speaks. And it's always a reflection. What you speak, what you say, is always a reflection. It's always a reflection of your heart. So if you're saying something and speaking something and decreeing or declaring, you're saying that out of your mouth, but what is going on in your mind and in your heart? How many have found themselves, I found myself there where I'm saying something, but my mind is thinking something else. I'm saying, oh, I'm just saying this, you know, it's been 12 years and, you know, I'm still feeling that. I'm like, you know, and after a while, it's just like, I'm saying it with my mouth, but what is your mind thinking? What's your heart really saying? Do you have faith? Are you trusting implicitly?
Oh, Pastor, I can really relate to what you're saying right there, because there's been times where I have been standing for healing, and if I feel something, I say, well, maybe I should just call the doctor just to, you know, see what's going on, you know. So I can relate to that.
Hallelujah.
And then immediately I bring it back. I say, no, I'm healed.
Praise God.
My healing isn't predicated on what I feel. Mm. You know, so then I begin to speak to it again, whatever it is, you know.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. You have to be active in this. We can't be passive. When it concerns healing and health and matters, things that ail us or that afflict us or that challenge us, you can't be passive. Mm-hmm. Knowing who you are, knowing your true identity, knowing the authority that is yours in Christ, you have to be active, not passive.
Yeah.
And speak life. You fight. Yeah, you fight back. That's why you speak. That's why I love the example earlier on. As soon as you see that thing, you nail it. Don't you say, oh, I'll just chill. I'll just manage with it. And before manage with it becomes, okay, I can cope with this. Oh, you know, I can still do this and do this. It's there, but whatever. And then you leave it, and then it just becomes a stronghold over time.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets a grasp and a stranglehold.
Yeah.
And then later on, down the line, obviously, it becomes a whole lot more difficult to say, oh, okay, I'm going to stand up to this now, but you already let it anchor. You already let it, you know, have a seat. And guess what happens? Then you're going in scripture and looking at the word and seeing your reflection, seeing your image, seeing who you've been made in Christ and now that you're healed and whatnot. But guess what? There's this big looming thing to the side that's just staring you in the face and say, oh, I'm still here. Okay, my stripes, we were healed. But all of a sudden, you're already in a zone where it's just like, do you believe what the word says and the truth of that in actuality?
Right.
So, in that light, time-wise, we're going to consider today's subject matter, which is beholding the cross. Beholding the cross. And I will say this morning, friends, this morning I'm just going to share my heart on this subject matter. This is something that I find critical in the aspect of unlocking, as a word key, unlocking manifestation of healing in our bodies, is actually getting a true understanding and a good grasp of something that happened in your place and on your behalf. And for me, this always serves as a constant reminder, in spite of the battles that I go through or the things that I face on this earth, as a, you know, in this body, because don't look at me and say, oh, he's head of healing class, so he doesn't get any challenges, there's nothing wrong. Don't get that picture. I don't float in the stratosphere. Things come on a daily basis. But I'm sharing this morning that it behoves us. It is profitable for us to always have that consciousness or the ability to look back at what happened. Something happened. Beholding the cross. I don't care how old you may be, how life has been, beyond any experience, I choose, and I want to encourage you, and I know we've done this, but continually to do so, choose the truth of that which was done and which is finished over any experience. You have to get to that place, friends. You have to have that conviction solid in your heart. Beyond sensory perception, as you said, what we feel, what we see, what. Can you hang on and hold on to the truth in an unrelenting manner? Regardless of how long, what it may be, or what the medics have said, as far as, oh, this is incurable, or this is going to be forever, or this is not reversible. And that's why, Judy, your testimony was, you know, key and very important. And I'll allow you to share it. I'll allow you to share it in full someday, okay? You stand right here if it's okay with you.
What's
your testimony. Oh. Amen. Praise God. All right. Beholding the cross. Quick look at Numbers 21. Numbers in chapter 21. From verse 4 to 9. I may have to buzz through at this point. But it's all good. Numbers 21 from verse 4. All right, this concerns the Israelites. They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go across the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And basically, they spoke against God and against Moses, complaining one more time, why have you brought us out of the land of Egypt, you know, to have us die here in the wilderness? Yes. You know, and bottom line is, oh, there's no food, there's no water. Now, was that the truth? There's no food. There's no food, there's no water, you know, and our soul loathes. Someone say loathes. Hates. Now, we're talking about God's provision, but now they despise that and say, oh, we loathe this worthless bread. Oh, I thought there was no food. Okay. And so on. And then serpents sent into their midst to bite them, afflict them. And then, you know, Bible says many Israelites died. I'm paraphrasing here, friends. Verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall what? Shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he what? Lived. Now we're going to go through quickly a few definitions here in the Hebrew. Now, the word look there is to what? Cause to gaze at intently, purposefully, okay? To gaze at, to cause to look intently on, to behold. That's the word look. The word look there is the word to behold in the Hebrew. It says to give attention to. So look, whoever shall look upon the serpent in this way, purposefully, intentionally, shall live. The word live, Hebrew, to be quickened, or to be quickened from, more specifically, from sickness. So there's a reviving there. There's a quickening there, okay? It is the word to revive, to be restored to life, or to be restored to health. So whoever looks upon the serpent shall what? Live. Yeah. And therefore not what? Not die. Now, I took us here real quickly, because this is a reference that Jesus made in the book of John 3 when he was speaking to the Pharisee, who we know as Nicodemus, concerning the subject of what? Being saved, or what? Being what? Born again. And when he could not grasp or grab or understand what Jesus was trying to convey, Jesus then had to reference something that he, as a teacher, that is, as a Pharisee,
would have known and have been conversant with to be able to convey. I find it interesting, friends, that Jesus, as it concerns describing or passing across, conveying the thought and the intent and the heart of the Father, as it concerns being saved or salvation, utilized directly and specifically an event that had primarily to do with what? Healing. As we just saw in the book of Numbers 21. So the reference is, you can put this down, because of time, I'll quote and we'll move on. John 3, the book of John chapter 3. Verse 14, it says, Jesus said to him, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in what? The wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever or whosoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but have eternal life." The same way as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man shall be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To believe, that is the word in the Greek, to totally trust and rely on, to place confidence in. Heart-wise, completely, confidence in. That is, who believes in him, that is, in Jesus, shall have eternal life. And verse 16, most popular, we know, "For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Those passages are so similar, but Jesus brought it from the Old Testament, that is the dispensation called Old, as referenced in Scripture, to try and convey to the man exactly what I'm speaking about here. I'm talking about the exchange. I'm talking about the giving of life. I'm talking about the giving of eternal life, which corresponds to, and we'll see this in the very next verse, and touches on, impinges on the subject of healing directly and specifically. Friends, we have to understand this. And for as long as I'm here, as long as I can speak, you will find, and please don't hold this against me, you will find that I will consequently and from time to time always come back to this and say it over and over and over and over again, in as many words as the Lord gives me, so that by way of repetition, I will not always say it the same way because the Holy Spirit leads in different ways, but we have to get it.
Yeah.
Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what?
Saved.
And we know that word, and we love that word. That's the word S-O-Z-O in the Greek, the word sozo. And what does it mean? What does sozo mean?
Healed.
Whole. Healed, whole,
set free,
protected,
made whole,
prospered. I'm looking for a D word.
Delivered.
And so on. There's a whole lot in there. But today, I want to give you direct definition from the Greek, sozo. Save one, it means to save one from injury or peril. Save one from injury or peril. So I make bold to say, and we can always talk about this subsequently, once I land on this, friends, it doesn't matter what that issue or condition is. It doesn't matter how it sprang up or how it came up. Touch on this a little bit, in a little bit. So including injury or anything of that nature. Do we get it? This is important, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Because sometimes, friends, we try to make exceptions and say, is the power of God sufficient? Is God able by his power, based on what he did, for it to cause to be effectuated in your body a manifestation of healing based on the finished work? Sometimes we try to make exceptions and say, if it's this, then don't even worry about it. Don't even think about it. That's not going to happen. And human beings tell us that. And say, look at your condition. You've had it this way. It's something genetic. You were born with this defect. Because you were born with it and now you're 39 or 69, you've got no hope. Is that true? Is that what God's word reveals?
That's what the doctors
do. Yeah, and we talk about this all the, from time to time, the doctors, the reports, and all of that stuff, but whose word shall you believe? Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our what?
Report.
And guess what the report had to do with, friends? Healing and health.
Yeah.
The report. And you know, I know there's a grand picture as far as Jesus coming and, you know, being the Savior and them not recognizing him and all of that, the way it played out in history as it concerns the Israelites. But when you look, scan the report and that whole chapter, it had to do with what? Healing and health. And we must understand this. And if that's the whole purpose for this message that I can pass across today, then it would have been time worthwhile. But I want you to get this. Because that thing has no abiding place in your body. It has no right. It has no locus standi. It has no right of standing in your body. I won't go further than that. Sozo, save one from injury or peril, to save a suffering one from perishing. That is, here it is, one suffering from disease, to make well, heal, restore to health. Sozo. To save one suffering from disease, to make well, heal, restore to health. Why he came, part of the mission, included, and by golly, on the cross, friends, those three valuable, most important words that I've held dear all my life, it is finished. And I had it as a motto, done, ellipsis, finished, ellipsis, accomplished, exclamation point. That's the way I choose to see it. It's done, it's finished, it's accomplished. This is the basis. This forms the bulwark. This forms the foundation. This forms the template from which we get to what? Speak. With abounding confidence that once that is said, based on the life of God, based on the power of God resident on the inside, based on the authority which it is that we have in Christ Jesus, you can see that effect. Because he did say that mountain moves. Mm-hmm. Not possibly, not feasibly, not maybe. Mm-hmm. It moves. Because we're speaking in faith, nothing doubting in our hearts. Doubt not being in play. All right. So we see that connection in there. Jesus referenced healing when he talked about salvation. We've looked at the word salvation itself to see that healing is implicated in there. Healing is touched on in there. And so I want to share it today. Based on how we're tracking, inherent, based on salvation, implicated in salvation, is the H factor. Part of salvation. Get this today. Part of what you received in Christ, in receiving Christ in you, in receiving the life of God, in receiving the Spirit of God. Implicated in that is the H factor. For anyone who has received eternal life. What's that H factor? Healing. Health. Healed. You must understand that salvation touched on that. Because there are many that don't believe that salvation had anything or has anything to do with healing. But it does. And there's scripture after scripture after scripture that shows this.
Yeah.
We must get it in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Do you have the divine nature of Abba?
Yes. Yes.
Do you have the DNA? Do you have the divine nature of Abba?
Yes.
Inherent in that DNA is H factor. And so you're the healed of the Lord.
He healed you through Christ. And that's the truth of the matter, friends. Isaiah 53. Let's glance in there. How is this so? Why is this so, friends? The price was paid in full. Wow, I wish we could, you know, read through the whole thing, but please feel free, as I said last week, and I want to say it again this week, meditate upon this portion of scripture. Go over it over and over and over and over again. Back in those days when, back on campus and at the university when I used to share this in time past, I'm not going to get into it per se, I used to fall ill. It was a matter of course. There was always going to be something ailing up. There was always some disease or something racking my body. Tropical diseases, obviously, you know, malaria and the resistant strain and some things of that nature, and typhoid and things of that nature. There was always something racking my body. And having been saved, experienced healing, having been saved, but then in the course of the walk, there were about 2-3 years, there was nothing. But all of a sudden, there was just like an avalanche of something. This portion of scripture I would read, I would keep before my eyes, I would meditate upon, sitting down, laying down, shaking, shivering. I can't even begin to describe it. Portion of the scripture, meditate Isaiah 53, and then pages get torn and mingled because there's sweat and there's all of that. But I didn't relent. I said, I must get this. I must get this into my heart. I've seen it. It's in there. Salvation is part of the package. I received this. Freely I've received. Of his fullness I have received. And I took that to heart. I said, okay, I'm going to walk by this. I'm going to stand by this. That way, when anything attacks and anything strikes or tries to, there will always be a response that is in consonance with what? Truth. Look at verse 3. And I want us, as we leave today, I want us to see this. I touched on it last week, but I want us to see it. Let's take it from 3. Last week we were at 4 and 5. Look at verse 3. Isaiah in chapter 53. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And I shared last week that the Hebrew words, and we must get this, the Hebrew words, sorrows, for example, the word sorrows in there is the word what? Pains. Is the word pains. The word sorrows is the word pains. And from the Hebrew is the word pains, and there's more to it, physical and what? Mental. Physical and what? Mental. And so in other words, physical and then what? Emotional pains. And I said this to say, remember somewhere earlier on I was saying, let's not give classifications and sometimes say, oh, well, some excuses. Well, he didn't really pay for or didn't die for emotional matters as well, whether as triggers for that physical ailment. Because it is possible, trauma, grief, guilt, and associated things trigger things in us. Panic attacks, migraines, kidney matters. And I'm not going to get into medical aspects in this, but it's important that for bottom line is Jesus did what? Paid for it all. Someone say all. So there are no categories that are exempt. Remember I said whether it was a birth defect or something from injury or whatever, no categories are exempt. We have to have this anchored and secure in our hearts. All right. Per time, let's move on. So sorrows is the word pains, and grief or griefs, or however it's put in your version of the Bible, is the word sickness in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. Must understand this. So that when we talk about, look at, or study out the suffering servant from Isaiah 53, you have to understand that the implication of the gospel, the implication as it concerns the work which Christ came and fulfilled as the word of God, Isaiah 55, which was accomplished and is being accomplished, touches on healing and health. Mm-hmm. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Question.
How was he acquainted with sickness? How was he acquainted? How was Jesus acquainted with sickness?
He carried it. He carried it off of us and onto himself.
He carried it off of us and onto himself. Amen. Mm. Praise God. Anyone else?
He became. He became everything that we were.
Sorry? He became everything?
He became everything that we were. He became sin and he became sickness.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. And this understanding, friends, is critical. And you know what? We may just, that may be our landing spot or landing zone today. Okay? Let's look at it. He carried it, bore it all upon his body on the cross. He did.
Yes, he did.
He did. Mm-hmm. Our pains, our sicknesses. And guess what? So that, just as Carol referenced there, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he had made him who knew no sin to be what? Sin for us, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God, what? In Christ Jesus. So understand this. Here's my heart. He had made him who knew no sickness to be sick for you on the cross, that we might be made the healed of God in him. I'll say that again. He had made him who knew no sickness to be sick for us on the cross, based on all that occurred on the cross, that we might be made what? The healed of God in him. Same thing. The same way righteousness accrued to you by virtue of redemption, by virtue of faith in the finished work, by virtue of salvation, is the same way healing and health and being the healed of God accrued to you by virtue of that finished work. Mm-hmm. All that is the connection there, the interplay there is your faith in that, which is believing, which is believing, which is trusting implicitly in him per the finished work. Someone says, oh, how are you making that jump? Can we read the passage so I can show this real quickly per time. Verse 4. Surely he has borne our what? Sicknesses or griefs, New King James, and carried our what? Sorrows, our pains. What Suzanne said, he bore it, he carried it. He bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. Yet we what? We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and what? Afflicted. But now he's going to give you a breakdown. Look at the root. First, he talked about the fruits. He talked about the offshoots concerning sickness and pains. Now, but he was wounded for what? Our transgressions. Not his. Ours. He was what? Bruised for what? Our iniquities. That's the root. The chastisement of our peace, our shalom, our peace, not peace in our hearts, but peace with God as far as what? Being reconciled, as far as being at one, as far as being partaker of his life and being one, connected for our peace was upon him. It says, and conclusion, by his stripes, we are healed. Who's healed in this room?
I'm healed.
Yeah. You're here.
I want you to know it. To receive this in your heart. Oh, we as sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone in his own way. It says, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It was because of the fall, as we saw last week, that mortality, sin, death, fear, everything associated, negative, came into the world. The Bible says it passed upon all men, for all have what? Sinned. Romans 5. And Jesus came and remedied that. And he didn't just remedy that. In taking all of that upon himself, sickness, disease, and all of that, he gave us something in return. He gave us eternal life. And in that life, inherent in that life, friends, is health, is healing, is the nature that is called healed. That's why I always reference myself when I stop feeling tinglings and pains. Left side of my, my left foot, my left leg, my left arm. I'm the healer of the Lord. In spite of whatever that may be. And I speak life in that instant. Who himself bore. And here's what I'm saying, friends. I want us to have this as a course, a manner of course. Like Peter did, I want to adjure us, I want to encourage us to contemplate, to always, to consider the cross, to behold the cross, to look back on what happened as a source of encouragement, as a source of strength, as a source of, friends, that always brings vitality to me. Because I'm able to look back the way Peter did in 1 Peter in chapter 2, verse 24. Who himself bore my sins upon his body on the tree. And from Isaiah 53, we've seen clearly and abundantly that we can directly say as well, who himself bore my sicknesses, my diseases, my pains upon his body on the tree. Now, being dead to sin, because I am dead to sin, now that I'm in tandem with Christ, I'm alive in Christ, dead to sin. Now, being dead to sin, I live unto righteousness. That just speaks about the great exchange. He took death, sin, death, and gave righteousness in return. God didn't just declare you, okay, you're just righteous, whatever. No. Something happened. You received something. There is that invisible seed on the inside of you. I'm talking about the divine nature of Abba. I'm saying this is what makes you above and not beneath. This is what makes you above and a conqueror, beyond and over any disease, affliction, infirmity, by whatever name it is named or called, novel or otherwise, unprecedented or otherwise, whatever that disease is, you're more than a conqueror.
That's right. That's right.
Righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. That's who you are. And for being righteous, you're healed. You have to understand this. For being righteous, you are healed. You are the healed of the Lord.
Yes, I am.
Let the healed of the Lord say so. Suzanne, you had something.
Nothing sticks to righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Sickness can't stick to righteousness.
Yeah, it can't attach. I say of my body, I says, sickness, disease, you have no continuing city or abiding place in this body. Why? This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Friends, and on and on and on. Romans 8:9. 1 Peter 2:24. But the point is, it's not just we're just reeling this off. Let this be the what? Conviction in your heart. Mm-hmm. Now, well, I was out of time. There was a point I was going to get to. I didn't get there, but I must touch on it. I was, oh, Father. I was going to read a couple of passages, scriptures, you know, so that we're not just interchanging. It's not, friends, that I'm just interchanging Hebrew words to put sickness in there. Different versions of the Bible have this explicit. New King James and King James go on with their sorrows and griefs, but we have to understand the truth of the matter is root cause was dealt with, iniquity and sins, and the abounding result is all that came before. How that sickness is taken off us, pains taken off us, placed on Christ. It was certainly our sickness that he carried, our sufferings that he bore. Common English. In fact, it was common English version of the Bible. In fact, it was our diseases he bore, our pains from which he suffered, complete Jewish. New American Standard. However, it was our sicknesses that he himself bore and our pains that he did what? That he carried. For verse 5, the same thing. The chastisement. So, we have to get it that healing is implicated in there. We have to understand this and take this to heart. I'll round off with this. I said by whatever name, whether it's inherited genetic issues, birth defects, result of accidents, injuries, or whatever, or even perhaps due to carelessness on our part. Lifestyle choices, life decisions, things we've exposed ourselves to in time past. And something attached to you, attached to your body, or stuck in your mind, on your heart, I'm saying Jesus paid the price for that as well. So that you don't give that thing room to say, okay, you can stay. No. He paid the price in full for that as well. Don't give no room for the enemy or the devil to have an anchor or have a hold in your heart. Grief, emotional trauma, lost one, divorce. There's some things that cause trauma and pain in our hearts and our lives, friends. And here's what I want to say as we close. We talked about forgiveness last week. Even from Isaiah 53, we see forgiveness implicated in there. You have to understand you're forgiven. You have to forgive yourself. Release. Maybe it may be attached to people or persons in your life. Release that. Allow that openness for manifestation in your body. And more importantly, sometimes we say, oh, but God allowed, that is a pitfall of the enemy.
Yes.
And say, but God allowed X and Y to happen to me or to happen. And then we hold God accountable, not verbally or actively, but in our minds. You just think, just by the thought, by where that, what road or channel that thought leads. One, and recognize that for what it is, nullify that thing, and speak life instead.
Amen.
Because God, till tomorrow, is not the thief who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. John 10:10. We know that's the devil. So you may also have to release, as hard as this may sound, may also have to release the Father for things we have attributed in error to Him, which has not been God all the way, all the time, ever.
Oh, that's good.
Let's rise. Praise God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
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 Apologies for going over, friends.
We just need more time.
You take the clock down next week. Father, thank you. Any prayer team member here? And I'm also here. If you want agreement in any area, I just sense, even if it's a heart issue, a heart concern, not necessarily physical heart now, but in the emotions, please, I'd like for you to just come forward, speak to someone, speak to me, speak to prayer team member up here. Take advantage of this. It's important. Today, I sense strongly, is your day, and there's a reason for this. Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the healing manifestations that have already occurred in this room, in hearts and minds and in bodies. We rejoice in you. We give you praise and all the glory, Lord. We say thank you. We say we love you. Thank you for reminding us of the cross and that our hearts should be postured in that direction constantly, consistently, to be able to continually speak truth to any condition that may try to raise its head. We love you, Lord. And we say thank you for the victory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Friends, we'll see you at 10:45. Time for service. Love you.